the Trinitarian Universalist Society, as you will note, that was not "if I loved you," it was something else. Who can tell us? Who can tell us who that was?
Mozart.
Okay. We welcome people from all religious, racial, and ethnic backgrounds and all sexual orientations. We are a lay-led congregation, and I am Erin Bosch, the current president. Robin is going to do the challenge fighting this morning, after which we will have 1 minute of silent meditation.
Wonderful things that
Christmas Sand Day in the 80s when I was in the American Peace Movement in Europe, and somebody told me about Sand Day back home, and so I got a touch of it. And it was just so nice and a great admirer. So it was a joy to see how important he was to help these people, and he will live on through his writings and all that.
And he looks so handsome up there on the stage.
The only person on stage with his own facial hair.
Well, there were a few little goatees. They only full beard.
I like to see all of his daughters in the room. On that, the net is coming.
Opportunity to just say good morning, now that you're at this table, say good morning to people in the assembling, and I just want to remind you that during Robin's presentation, though, even though we're sitting at these tables and it's going to be hard to be quiet during his presentation, but he will accept questions and comments during. If you raise your hand.
The song we're doing is by Isaac, called Candid. And it's somebody said, well, how does this relate to the morning topic? Well, the title of it is Come Live with Pleasure. It actually is about the song. And it was one that Rose Lester learned when she was at the General Assembly and sang in the GA choir.
Thank you. you and bring you up to date with where we are in this lay ministry. If you recall the first service, I gave you sort of the background and the history of sexuality within Unitarianism and Universalism. The second service was presented by facilitators from James Reed, and they talked about the experience last year of teaching our whole lives the new sexuality curriculum with 7th through 9th graders. And this is the third service in the lay ministry, and this is the introduction to our whole lives for adults. Our whole lives for adults is brand new curriculum. The United Church of Christ comes in these two parts here. It's divided into 12 workshops, and I've tried to condense these 12 workshops into two services. This being the first one, and the next one 2 weeks from today. And I'll just give you an idea of what the workshops, how the workshops are divided, and what the topics are. Sexuality and values, sexuality and communication, sexuality and spirituality, discovering the sexual self, experiencing the sexual other, sexual attraction and early relationships. That's the first six, and I kind of reduced those into today's service. Second half, sexuality and developing relationships, sexuality and committed relationships, sexual diversity, sexuality and family, sexuality and aging, and sexuality and health. The way that the curriculum is structured is to make it fit in with the way that a UU congregation might worship and the way they might come together to promote the ideas of spirituality and community and connection to a faith tradition. And so the chalice lighting that I gave this morning, we'd like this chalice to remind us that each person's sexuality is sacred and worthy of respect. It's how a workshop of our whole lives might begin. They've done, since the previous sexuality education curriculum about your sexuality, there's been more of an attempt to link sexuality education with UU principles and to help participants see the connection between their religion and their sexuality for their whole lives. So why is sex education religious education? Because it is intended to nurture the following things. First thing, religious community. Sessions are framed by rituals and practices familiar to UU. There's a separate supplement for UUs, and there's also a supplement for United Church of Christ. Secondly, it nurtures spiritual depth. It encourages participants to consider the links between spirituality and sexuality and their connection to their own faith tradition or the faith traditions from which they migrated. Third, prophetic vision and action for justice reinforces the idea that treating people differently because of physical or sexual differences is unjust and affirms respect for the values and beliefs of others. Fourth, nurtures values congruent with the participants' religious beliefs and the skills and attitudes and knowledge to live out those values. The curriculum invites participants to reflect upon how their values and those of the congregation and UUs in general are connected with what they're learning. And last, it promotes the worth and dignity of every participant. It creates an accepting, affirming, and respectful atmosphere in which participants can feel safe and valued, be safe and valued members of the community. I should be more explicit about how the UU principles are connected with the principles of our whole lives. And I did have a handout that has the UU principles on one side and the values on the other, but since you're so inundated with paper, I figured I'd leave it up here. So what I do now, just pass it around. Take one and pass it around to the next table. I didn't have time to come to all the handouts. I was hoping, you know, when I picked this program that it would generate interest and generate controversy, but really what it's ended up generating is a lot of paper. Okay. Principle one, the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Every person's sexuality is sacred and is worthy of respect, therefore is not to be violated. Principle two, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. We treat others as we would want to be treated. therefore sexual exploitation and interpersonal violence are wrong. Anything you want to take with you, handouts, feel free to take with you after the service. Principle 3, acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth. Accepting each other as we are means, as we are means doing no harm and fostering well-being in oneself and others. A free and responsible search for truth and meaning. In our relationship to others, our freedom of sexuality is as important as the responsibility for it. The right of conscience and the use of democratic processes within our congregations and society at large. As a community and an institution, we are responsible for creating a secure, safe, and nonviolent environment. The goal of a world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all, we have the opportunity to create the kind of environment that lends itself to peace, liberty, and justice in human interactions, and we can become a model for the rest of society. And finally, respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. When we respect each person's sexual integrity, we honor the wholeness of life, and we respect the web of all existence. Okay, so what could you perhaps expect to encounter when you came to a workshop or a session of Our Whole Lives? After the chalice lighting and perhaps some silent meditation and individual reflection, the opening reading helps to highlight interdependence, bringing the group together, and make us think about our interconnectedness. The following is an example. It's called Come Into the Circle of Caring. It's from Richard S. Gilbert, in a book titled In the Holy Quiet of This Hour, and Aaron will read it for us.
Come into the circle of caring. Come into the community of gentleness, justice, and love. Come, and you shall be refreshed. Let the healing power of this people penetrate you. Let loving kindness and joy pass through you. Let hope infuse you, and peace be the law of your heart. In this human circle, caring is a calling. All of us are called. Come into the circle of caring.
This is intended to help build an atmosphere of trust, an atmosphere of community, between people who may or may not know each other and people who bring their own personal experiences and past and injuries, both spiritual and sexual, to a course like this. But trust is not established just right away. So the first thing that is often done, kind of a practice that's done in a lot of the group processes now, is the establishment of ground rules. I just got done participating in the Madison Study Circles on Race for 10 weeks in the fall. And the first thing we did in the first session was establish ground rules about how we were going to behave for each other, what could be said, what were our bounds, how can we feel safe, and begin to build relations of trust which will allow us to discuss things that are very personal and sometimes go places that are very raw and exposed. So what I would like to do here is just to kind of throw it out to you. What do you think would be ground rules that might be appropriate for our whole lives, for sexuality?
Confidentiality.
Confidentiality. Nothing leaves the room. Listening without judging. Okay, no personal attacks or statements. Issue. I statements, not me statements. Let's see the question. That's not exactly what you said. All of a sudden, all the hands go down. Anything else?
I'm going to have to ask you this question, actually. How do you live putting something into words about not laughing at others, but yet still being able to have humor? Because when you're dealing with talking about sex, sometimes we're uncomfortable, we have to be able to laugh, but how do you do that without laughing at something about that?
Through group exercises which encourage people to laugh together, to see things and laugh, and actually that's the next thing we're going to do, so thank you.
Yeah.
Almost a perfect segue.
Anything
else? Okay. Now this is what, in the jargon of the curriculum, is called long-form covenanting. All right. of your own body language?
Other people's body language.
Okay. And when we do this in the race study circles, I think our each race study circle session was about 2 hours long, and we spent almost the entire first session of the study circle on race just coming up with ground rules, and people kept on building on our stuff. So that's long, long covenant, but we don't always have time for that, especially when you're condensing six sessions. So there's another suggestion, which is short form covenant, which is like Moses and God on Mount Sinai. Moses said, "No, you speed this up because I think you know people down there can't rest." So this is, say we're going to do short form covenant. I don't know if you all over there can see this. There's actually suggestions about what the covenants would be, and let's see how close your suggestions came to the suggestions that. Here's a short one. Treat each other with respect. Everyone is a lawyer, everyone is a teacher. No one will be asked to share personal experiences. If you may share, there's no one in the group is harmed or embarrassed. So if you have a relationship or a past with somebody in the group, you can't necessarily bring that past up. Nothing leaves the room. Exception, evidence of sexual abuse. It becomes apparent during the course of the discussion that there is something perhaps illegal that needs to be called to the attention of somebody, the authorities, then that's the exception of the case. Leaders are not professionals, and professionals, the group should be able to identify appropriate resources. So, I'm not a professional. I've read the curriculum a couple times and condensed it, so really, any original thinking on my part is purely unintentional. Okay, now we get to the issue of humor. I'm glad that I just brought that up. Just to sort of break down barriers and make people feel more comfortable, there are certain exercises that connect sexuality and humor. One is called Peace Poems. And there are a bunch of limericks. It starts with limericks. And the exercise is that a group gets together. I have scrambled limericks here. The group is supposed to get together and cooperate with each other, put the limericks together, and then read it back to the group. Now, there were about 12 in there, and I wanted to have one for every table, but you know, I'm erring on the side of discretion here. Because, you know, I don't know where people are coming from, and people didn't volunteer either. So I'm trying to make everything, you know, kind of as PG-rated as possible. So I think these are the PG-rated ones. I just agree. And if you want to come up to the and read the ones afterwards that I you're welcome. That's right. Okay. Any volunteers? Any tables want to volunteer to do this? Raise your hand. I have an exercise for the tables who don't. I'll just pass this out. You done? You done? Okay, everybody's done. Okay, I think we're all done. We're gonna have the tables report back what they came up with. We'll start here with this table. Anna's gonna report back.
Eight.
is a human coition in any position life is so well enjoyed.
Wrong. That works, but it's not quite. Not quite it.
Well, not
it's not it. It starts with according to old Sigmund Freud. But I think you got the idea. Okay, who's next? This table here.
A wanted young lady of Wimbledon, reproached for not acting friendly. I know sexism loves, answer heavens above, but it's such an attractive facsimile.
Perfect. Okay, the third table.
There was a young couple called Kelly who had to live belly to belly. For once, in their haste, they used library paste instead of the
trolley. Okay, and those are the cleaners there. After that, it gets pretty purple after that. Okay. Now, the other exercise that I handed around is called statement starters. And what you would do is there's a list, I think, of 18 statements there that require some sort of filling in. Does every table have one? Even the ones that... does anybody have one that can give to this table here? You probably don't have it because I just passed it out. Can anybody spare one for this table over here? So these are supposed to elicit sort of immediate responses to some of the statements. So what you would do is you would start with number one, first person start with number one, and then go around the table. So you keep going around and around. You can always pass. If you don't want to answer a question, you can always pass. And in this curriculum, you always have the option of passing, of sitting out, of abstaining from anything. Okay? So what you can do is do this among yourselves. Do this among yourselves, and then after you get some funny answers or some answers you want to share, then we'll report back and share with the group. So talk amongst yourselves and then report back. How about this, Mike? Let's see what you came up with. I'll read the statements and you can just shout out what you came up with. I think that swimming in a nudist beach would be
wonderful.
Very good. The sexiest thing I know about geography is
Florida.
Just shout it out, don't have to raise your hand. That's kind of Whitman-esque there, isn't it? I think that people who make love in snowbanks. Yes. Or we'll have their deposits frozen. Okay. If somebody you just met at a party has a critical zipper open, you should.
They
can
open
zip plug. When I see underwear ads with overflowing bras and bulging briefs, I the sexiest color I know is
red.
Wow. Unanimity. I think that people who make love while chewing bubble gum. Are not concentrating. I think that people who make love while chewing bubble gum. The most feminine clothing I can think of is. Most feminine clothing I can think of. G-string? Okay. The most masculine clothing I can think of is? Not that interesting. Speedos. The sexiest book in the world may be? The sexiest book in the world may be? The Bible? Okay, when I first saw an ad for a condom, I thought,
Yahoo.
It's about that. The sexiest ad I have seen recently is
personal
media. Ads. I think some words are called dirty because. The sexiest food in the world is probably
whipped cream.
What's that? Thick fudge syrup. Now we're getting somewhere. The sexiest kind of music I know is Bolero. That's one of the musical selections that was chosen for the curriculum. The overture was, or the prelude was supposed to be If I Loved You from Carousel, but I got a recording that I didn't really like, and so I used Mozart's Concerto in D minor instead, which is supposed to bring together sexuality and spirituality. So maybe at the end we'll play it and you can think about that again. I believe that sexy ads for cornflakes. Bring out the tiger in here. They're great. Okay. I think that sex on the internet.
Impossible.
Has to pose certain practical difficulties. When asked whether birds or fish are more sexy, I always say, like, we talk, it comes up in conversation all the time.
Okay, so now, theoretically, defenses are down a little bit. People are a little bit more comfortable with each other. They're willing to share stuff. They're willing to be a little bit silly and even let, you know, small revelations slip through. And we've established the ground rules. And so the next thing would be the sexual self-definition survey. And I put surveys on all the tables, and I noticed that some of you had been filling them out. We're not going to have time right now to pause and fill the surveys out, but please, if you want to, and again, this is entirely optional. Nobody has to fill out a survey. Nobody has to fill out every question. You can skip any question you like. You can fill out the survey or not. But if you do fill out the survey, any part of it, please comment or deposit it in this bag at the end of the service.
Brown paper bag.
Perfect. We'll have somebody at the table bring them up, and then obviously don't write your name on them. I will tabulate them, and I'll bring back some results in 2 weeks, and we can see perhaps something about the sexual attitudes of prayer. Okay. All right. So after that kind of ice-breaking exercise or routine, we move on to trying to talk about more seriously, maybe, about sexual value. Okay. One of the exercises is called Values for an Ideal Society. And it starts with two questions that you would, again, discuss in the small groups, but I don't think we have time. We better just do it in the large group. The first question is, do you think sexuality is a negative or a positive source in contemporary society? And that's one of these, you all have copies of these continuums on your table. And so you kind of answer that question according to a continuum. Do you think sexuality is a negative or a positive source in contemporary society? There are two on the table. You're supposed to work together as a group. Yeah, 10 would be positive, I guess. You have to establish a continuum yourselves. 10 would probably be positive, 1 would be negative. The first question is, do you think sexuality is a negative or a positive source in contemporary society? You can do that on the continuum. The second question, well, I'll let you do the first question first. Responses to that first question. So, what are some of the responses you came up with in your groups?
It depends.
Okay.
Okay, that's interesting.
But we're talking about contemporary society.
Right.
Well, even there's pressures on young teenagers today from the media and
cultural. Did other women in the room feel the same way about that?
We can define our question that way.
Okay.
I just know what these two women have felt that question about sexuality. Sexuality is something you have, like computer knows most of the time anyhow. And that it's value neutral. How you use your sexuality is what the issue is about. But we also said that it's very possible that, say, if you belong to say maybe certain Christian night groups that felt that just anything to do with sex, including the fact that you have it, is wrong and should be different.
Okay. Now, in order to but in order to define terms and to let us know a little bit about what we're talking about, on the back of the survey, there's this sort of graph or chart, and this was presented. If you remember, we're here for the Our Whole Lives service that were given by Karen and Arthur. They presented this up on the board, the different aspects of our sexual being. So that might give you a little clearer idea of what, when we're talking about sexuality, what are we talking about? Lisa?
I was also going to add that the images are media created by our sexuality, and that the monthly young and very unusually slender people.
Right, those are sexual beings and others aren't.
People don't have a whole life. Those people will get older and, I think it's a different way
of those self-destruction. Right, what's the sort of the line, beauty fades but dumb is forever? Beauty fades but dumb is forever. Yeah. Something like that. That's probably not how you would put it, but don't want to put words in your mouth. Okay. Now, after having talked about sexual values and having some disagreement and realizing that there's a continuum or a spectrum along which you can place things, what the next part of the exercise calls for is your statement of sexual values in an ideal society. What would be the sexuality values in an ideal society? And you can, if you can take maybe 1 minute again to talk amongst yourselves and see if each table can come up with a statement for what the values would be. Obviously, this is an exercise that you would spend a half hour with in a workshop. Sure. Propose a statement of values to be the basis of sexuality politics in an ideal society. Okay. I'll say it again. Propose a statement of values to be the basis of sexuality politics in an ideal society.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Is anybody ready to give us their statement? Warren.
I know how I entered when I was 18 years old. I entered by quoting Rabelais from Gargantua. The words over the entrance to the Abbey of Calais are, "Do what thou wilt."
Anybody else have something to
add? I came up with do no harm.
Anybody else? Phoenix. Love and respect. Phoenix said love and respect. Orange? Everybody hear that? Lisa.
I can fall in the category of do no harm, but we also included respecting other people's larger commitments and as well as our own and working hard not to break or shift someone else's relationship.
Okay. Anybody else? So is this even possible to have? Is sexual justice even something that's possible? I guess would be a question that perhaps might be. Bob? All right. You've now just completed the first three workshops of the sexuality. And I guess briefly I can summarize some of the other ones are. One of them is sexuality and communication, and it deals with how comfortable we are expressing our sexuality, the words we use to express sexual ideas and sexual themes. And one of the examples, one of the exercises is called singing with Walt Whitman. You're given examples of Walt Whitman's poetry, and he had some very explicit sexual poetry in the 19th century, which talked both about heterosexual sexuality and homosexual sexuality. And one of the exercises, if we had time for, or that you would do, is after hearing some of Walt Whitman's poetry, is you would try to compose some poetry yourself, a la Whitman. We're not going to have time for that, but Rick's going to give us a taste of what Whitman wrote about.
A woman waits for me. Sex contains all. Bodies, souls, meanings, fruits, purities, delicacies, results, promulgations, songs, commands, health, pride, the maternal mystery, the seminal milk, all hope, benefaction, the soul, all the passions, love's beauties, delights of the earth, all the governments, judges, gods, fallen persons of the earth. These are contained in sex as parts of itself and justifications of itself. Without shame, the man I like knows and avows the deliciousness of his sex. Without shame, the woman I like knows and avows hers.
Typo on my part. Sorry, Rick. That's not Rick's fault, that's my fault. Okay, I also have an excerpt from Whitman's I Sing the Body Electric, which is also in the curriculum, which is a little bit more explicit, and I'm just going to leave it up here, all right? There are three copies up there. My idea was, if we had time, is that each person could take a stanza, but the hour is getting late. Okay. Another form of workshop that's used a lot are role plays. And so various role plays are set up. In the issue on sexuality and communication, there's a role play between a parent and a seven-year-old. And the parent is trying to warn the seven-year-old about the dangers of sexual abuse and about strangers and things like that, but the parent isn't exactly sure what kind of language to use, how explicit to be, how frightening a parent should be when talking to a seven-year-old, and so people are encouraged to do role plays. There's also a role play with a 12-year-old, and some of you might be familiar with this, and a parent is trying to convince a 12-year-old to enroll in the Our Whole Lives So that was the issue of how we talk about sex to our children. Another unit is on sexuality and spirituality. And one of the exercises in sexuality and spirituality is to throw out a bunch of terms that you associate first with spirituality. We could do that quickly here, if you want. Terms that associated with spirituality. Peace.
Joy.
Contemplation.
Union.
Oh, Warren's already moving in that direction. Marriage, harmony. Cool. Respect. Balance. Nice.
Joy.
All right, now throw out words that you associate with sexuality.
Harmony.
Harmony, also. Compassion? Passion.
Holy cow.
That's so say that with baseball.
Rapture.
Okay. Now the idea would be to think about where those two sets of words overlap, at what points they intersect, spirituality and sexuality. And what the exercise would recommend is that you take a minute, but we'll take 30 seconds, to silently meditate on the overlap between sexuality and spirituality. Think about the words that came out, think about how you define the two issues, and think about it silently for 30 seconds. Similarities, where they overlap. Let's Okay. All right. So that exercise is intended to get people to think about when sexuality is most spiritual, when spirituality is most sexual. Okay. And the last exercise that we probably have time for is the writing of haikus. Anybody here good at writing haikus? A suggested exercise in the curriculum is to write a haiku, which are 17 syllable, 3-line poems, 5-7-5, on the issue, any issue, it's, in the curriculum it says on the issue of passion, but we're going to broaden it here. Any issue connected to sexuality or spirituality and sexuality that you choose. And try to work as a group, see if you can come up, what you can come up with together. And again, you have much longer in an exercise to do that. And hopefully, maybe people will, you know, a group will get together and get it on the same. Yeah, you can check them out. I'm going to leave them for 2 more weeks to prepare the next one, but after that, I'll be done. How are we coming along? Anybody come up with anything? Hi, we got a haiku over here. Yeah. Sure. Okay, Catherine's going to read the haiku from their group. Anybody else? If you have 16 syllables or 18 syllables, nobody's counting. Okay? Did you get 17?
Writing
There's always one contrarian.
When passion is love for another life spirit, peace and rapture rule.
Orange?
We have got one of the things that we go on. Union passion is open, free, and liberal, defining the
Okay. That's it.
Randy, could you do me a favor? I forgot to bring the basket from the outside. The basket, offering basket. Now this is the time when we can introduce any guests or visitors, people here for the first time, which I don't... We're going to sing first? Okay. Did you pass out?
Yeah, the hymn we're singing to the tune of Simple Gifts, and the words that we're going to sing should be on a handout, yet another handout, on the table. Does anybody have more if anybody needs some?
Yeah.
Randy.
Remember me? Honey, are you what did I say after that? Oh, secret friend. We need about 25 adults. There's about 25 kids who are interested. We're doing okay. We got about 11. And I got this week and next week before we start the process. For those of you who aren't... Thank you. For those who aren't familiar with it, what we do is we pair up an adult with a kid, and they exchange letters and interesting pictures and information for about 3 to 4 weeks, and then we have a celebration at the end. And what I'm going to do this year, I'll break the dish a little bit, in that I'm going to encourage all the adults to share a lot. The issue for me with Secret Friends is you don't know anything about the kid, and you have to guess at the end. This year, I'm going to encourage all the kids to share interesting things about their world. And I'm going to give the adults the choice of knowing their kid or not knowing their kid through the process. For me, it becomes a process of you get no information to get the kid. I don't think that's fun, number one, and that's not fair, number two, because you're bearing your soul. So anyway, that's what I'm going to try this year. And what I'd like to do is pass it around, and then at the end, I'm not here to put it on the table.
What's the last Sunday?
Thank you. I noted it on the sheet. March 18th is the party. This is obviously really important to attend. It's okay if you miss a week. It's okay. Somehow get the information to me, and I'll make sure your secret friend gets it. It's okay if you miss a week. But the party obviously is really important because that's the brand and area. Thanks.
Rachel?
I just wanted to make a request. I noticed that someone parked right in front of where the sidewalk meets the street, and then I noticed a lot of people stopping to get across the snow. So especially this time of the weather, be sure you notice where you're parking. If you're in front of a spot where the sidewalk meets the street, please move.
I may have a strategy. If you're the first one here, and you're parking, park just above that sidewalk opening. Your rear bumper is producing, you know, the gap is going to be there.
Because there's also another theater group going today to see Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon at 1 o'clock at Point Cinema and going to Grip to eat lunch first. So you have two options of movies. If you've seen one, then go to the movie.
And we'll discuss later the movie about
Hidden
Monster
and
in terms of
the alternative
to
one. Good, good.
Program committee forgot that we the Soraya Jemaya Mosque is building next week after service. So potluck, you'll see in Starfire, will have to be put off 1 week. So let's make it 2 weeks from today for the potluck.
Announcement next week. Wait. When it's four nailed down.
everybody else in the heart.
Yeah, they
Party, but he wants you to notice now, February 17th. Okay, and there will be an article in the Prairie Fire, and you are all invited, but they do request that you RSVP. It's good to know how many people are coming.
What time
is it? He didn't tell me. And it's here, yes. Any other announcements? Al. With that, Robin gets the closing word.
Thank you. We're going to do a responsive reading, number 657 in this book. And it's another example of how the people who came to go up with the OWL curriculum have tried to take traditional elements of our UU observances and weave them into the fabric of OWL. So what they suggest or propose that we do with this responsive reading, it matters what we believe, is each time after you say some beliefs, after I say some beliefs, you're supposed to say about sexuality. And when you respond with other beliefs, you're supposed to say about sexuality. And the idea is that it really is quite appropriate and amazing what it does when you insert that. So, everybody ready? Some beliefs about sexuality are like walled gardens. They encourage exclusiveness and the feeling of being especially privileged.
Some beliefs about sexuality are expansive and lead the way into wider and deeper sympathies.
Some beliefs about sexuality are like shadows, clouding children's days with fears of unknown calamities.
Other beliefs about sexuality are like sunshine, lighting children with the warmth of happiness.
Some beliefs about sexuality are divisive, separating the saved from the unsaved, friends from enemies.
Other beliefs about sexuality are honesty and world community, where sincere differences
do not. Some beliefs about sexuality are like blinders, shutting off the power to choose one's own direction.
Other beliefs about sexuality are like gateways to holy blindness for exploration.
Some beliefs about sexuality weaken a person's selfhood, they blight the growth of the social life.
Other beliefs about sexuality nurture self-confidence and enrich the feeling of personal worth.
Some beliefs about sexuality are rigid, like the body of death, infinite in a changing world.
Other beliefs about sexuality are pliable, like the unsaddling, ever growing with the upward thrust of life.
Thank you, and if you're inclined to complete your survey, please turn it over.